Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets." As we look at the verses that precede this, you'll remember that Jesus has taught his disciples about judging one's brother. And he said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And by that, Jesus meant that the same measure that we use to judge others, they will use that same measure to judge us. And he talked about getting the beam out of your own eye before you criticized others for having or sought to take out the speck or sawdust that was in someone else's eyes. And he meant that we should not be critical of others unless we are certain we ourselves are free from the same fault. And there are verses in between this, but many times people use the verse that I have referred to, "Judge not lest that you be not judged," as a general statement that applies to everything that we come in contact with in life. And therefore, in the area of that which is religious, we just have no right to judge anybody else. It's improper, it's unchristian, it's unscriptural. You just shouldn't judge anybody else, because that's their right to have whatever opinion they have. And after all, we may not be as good as they are. So the Bible just says, "Judge not." Well, in this statement where Jesus said, "Judge not," he's talking about thy brother's eye. He's talking about me and you as a congregation of people. That's far different than the statement that Jesus makes here when he says, "Beware of false prophets." And in order to judge a false prophet, we have to judge. In order to beware of a false prophet, we have to judge. And that judgment is based on what Jesus said here, that is, the bearing of fruit. There's something that we can look at and use as a basis for judging this person and arrive at the conclusion that they're a false prophet. Beware of false prophets. I think this is a startling truth that Jesus speaks here. And I believe that many times we'd feel better if we could just avoid it. You know, it just seems like that sometimes we have some health problems and they're really not that serious, and if we could just ignore them rather than go have them seen about, we could just feel a lot better. And you know, here in the world, there are a lot of problems, and if we just sort of shut ourselves in, ignore all the problems, then life would just be a whole lot better. These false prophets are there to be judged by their fruits, plural. Now, the thing we have to learn this morning that's critical to understanding these verses of Scripture is that these fruits are not what they do in Jesus' name. You remember the scriptures I read previously about the prophet who did wonders, who was able to articulate signs, and these wonders and these signs would come to pass. So identifying a false prophet cannot be done by what a person does in the name of Jesus. You can't look at what someone does in the name of Jesus and determine that that person is a false prophet. We must identify false prophets by what they say in Jesus' name, not what they do in the name of Jesus. And that's very, very important that you learn that particular truth. If you look at what people do, you will not be able to identify them as a false prophet, because what these people do is the clothes they wear, okay? It's the outward thing that they put on, and the outward thing that a false prophet wears is good works done in the name of Jesus. Devils cast out in the name of Jesus. Prophesying in the name of Jesus. This all clothes them with a clothing of respectability and of scripturalness. So we must not ever look at what someone does. We must never look at results. And I know you're told constantly, well, just look at the results and you'll know whether this is a man of God or not. And I can tell you that's not true. You must not look at results. You're going to fall under the teachings of a false prophet if you look at results. He said, well, I know this is a man of God. Look how many they've got. Look at how that church is growing. Look at how many they have in Sunday school. I know that man is of God. Look at this great hospital this man has built. Look at this great university this man has built. Look at this great building this man has built. Look at the homes for children that this person has established. Look at the homes for the runaway teenager. Look at how he stands and how he opposes abortion. Look at the homes for men and homes for women. Look at all these people have done. I know this is a man of God. You can be fooled by looking at results. They will clothe a false prophet. Beware means to turn your mind to something and pay attention. Give heed. Be on the lookout for false prophets. And a false prophet is one who falsely professes to come as a messenger of God and to have a message from God. He's got two things that he claims, and neither is true. He claims that God has sent him, and he claims that what he says is the message that God gave him. False prophets always have three things. Number one, they have good works. Number two, they have a claim of being sent of God. And number three, they claim that their message is of God. They're clothed. What are they clothed in? They're not clothed in wickedness, are they? Because you would immediately know. They're not clothed in pornography. They're not clothed in abortion. They're not clothed in wickedness of every sort. They're not witches. They're not warlocks. They're not these kinds of people that we get the idea Jesus is talking about here when we say, beware false prophets. Why, it'll be this wild-eyed guy with his hair standing up, and he'll have a sheet wrapped around him, and he'll have a staff in his hand, and he'll be babbling some silly message, and everybody will laugh at him, and everybody will say, well, that fool, look at him. He thinks he's God's messenger. If that's who you're looking for a false prophet, you're going to fool, you're going to fall for the real false prophet. Now they come to you in sheep's clothing. Be on the watch for false religious teachers, men who come to you disguised as a sheep, literally as one of you, because we are God's sheep. But Jesus said, inwardly they are ravening wolves. On the inside, their character is raging, ravenous. Why would a wolf want a sheep? Let me ask you that. Why would a wolf want a sheep? To make a companion of him? To be a friend to him? To provide him with things to eat? No, a wolf wants a sheep for a particular reason. A wolf wants a sheep so he can use the sheep for his own benefit, to devour it. A wolf doesn't want a sheep so he can make it a wonderful sheep, so that the sheep can be happy and multiply and have other sheep so that they can all live in the pasture together, while the wolf sits back and enjoys the companionship that the wolves have with one another and the oversight that he has of the wolves to see what, of the sheep rather, to see what's best for them. No, a wolf wants a sheep for one thing, and that is to use for his own purpose. Now, ye shall know them by their fruits. I said, well, that's what they do. No, it isn't. It is not what they do. It is what they say. Now, Jesus speaks to the character or the nature of a false prophet. And he asked the question, he asked two of them, in fact. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? These present absurdities, and the answer is an implied no. You can't pick grapes from thorn bushes. And you can't gather figs from thistle clumps. The answer is obvious. It's no. And Jesus said, even so, in the same manner, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Jesus said, applying the same logic, a good tree will bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, and the word here means rotten, decayed. It's used of things unsuitable, things unusable, unfit, or bad. So a bad tree produces bad fruit. And you can't get good fruit off of a bad tree. Trees bear fruit according to their nature. And it's what men say that is according to their nature. That is, the nature of a man is evil, and when that nature speaks, it speaks of things that are contrary to the will, the work of Almighty God. A tree cannot bear fruit contrary to its nature. This is what Jesus said in verse 19. Every tree that bringeth, or rather verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now we got the other statement in verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And the word that's translated know here is the same one that is translated in verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Now, the word that's translated know means an exact knowledge, a knowing fully and completely, to absolutely recognize. And he's not implying there has to be any guesswork involved in identifying the false prophet. Then he states again, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And he uses the same word. And again, he uses the same statement, fruit. And you're saying, well, that just simply means their actions. It's what they do. You can look at what a man does, and you can tell that he's a false prophet. And that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what Jesus is saying here. Let's look at verse 21. And you say, now the subject changes there, Brother Penn. I beg to differ. It does not change. And the reason I say that it does not change, because of verse 2. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's the first claim they make to legitimacy before God at judgment is, we prophesied in your name. Well, who prophesies? A prophet. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. See? Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now what is God's will? You say, well, that's to feed the hungry and to visit the sick and... No, he's not talking about that as being the key to entering into the kingdom of heaven. The reason I say that, look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Okay. Jesus is talking about people hearing the word of God and doing the word of God. That is obeying what those words teach them to do. What is it to hear the word of God? To hear that God is. That he sent his son to die on the cross. And that he made a sacrifice for our sins. Well, what is it to do the word of God? It is to place your faith in Jesus Christ. It is to have faith. It is to trust. It is to believe. That's to do the word of God. He said, well, doing the word of God means all these good works. No, it means doing these things that the word teaches you to do. As far as establishing a relationship to God. Now, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, here is a false prophet. And what has he been saying? This false prophet has come, and in whose name does he prophesy? He prophesies in the name of the Lord. He says the magic phrase, Jesus, Jesus. Everything he does around the pulpit is done in the name of Jesus. In fact, a false prophet, and you listen to me, don't go to sleep and miss this. A false prophet may use the name Jesus more than a true prophet. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, but the man who actually does my heavenly Father's will. Now, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. That's exactly the same phrase that Jesus used in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Prophesied means to hold the office of a prophet, to do the office of a prophet, to speak forth, warn, exhort, or teach in the name of God. One translator put it this way, didn't we preach in your name? Now here, did we not prophesy in your name doesn't mean that someone sat down with a strange look on their face and said, now in December of 1996 a certain star will arise and this. You know, that's not prophecy. It's not saying that this person, did we not prophesy in thy name, means somebody said, now 1998 there will be a certain occurrence come and this being will be so and so. That's not what we're talking about here. This is the office of a prophet. The language will bear this out. This is a man who occupied the office of a prophet. He came in the name of God, saying God sent him. And he said, I've got a message from God. And this is the message from God. But it was not a message from God, and God had not sent him. That's what the man claimed, okay? This is what the prophet claimed. God called me and God has sent me and this is God's message. And he wants you people to do it. Now how did this man, this prophet who prophesied, How did he get his credentials? What clothing did he wear in order to fool people? Not only did he verbally claim to have the message of God and to be a man sent from God and to know the will of God for the people, but the Bible tells us, but in thy name he cast out devils. Not in the name of the devil did he cast out devils, but in the name of Jesus. Invoking the name of Jesus, the man cast out devils. In thy name we expelled devils, evil spirits, which are to be seen as influencing the lives of people for evil, literally demons. How did he get people to believe his message? How did this false prophet get people to believe that God had sent him? How did he get people to believe that he had God's message? How did he get people to do the things he wanted them to do in the name of God? One of the things he did was he cast out devils. And then the Bible tells us, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Not in the name of Buddha, not in the name of Muhammad, not in the name of Joseph Smith, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Invoking the name of Jesus Christ, he did works of power. Because this wonderful works is really a translation of the word dunamis or dynamite, power. What we're saying is that this man, in the name of Jesus, had power. And he used that power to do fantastic and unbelievable things. We did many wonder works, one translator said. In whose name did he do them? In the name of Jesus. Now I want you to notice verse 23. And then will I profess unto them. Now look at this. The word profess comes from a word that means to speak or say the same with another. To assent to. Listen. To agree with. Now look at this. Jesus agreed with the man. And what the man said. Now what did Jesus agree with? Jesus agreed that he had used his name. Jesus agreed that he had cast out devils. And Jesus agreed with the man that he had done many wonderful works. He agreed with him. That is, he did not disagree with him. To say the same thing. The word profess means to say the same thing as someone else. So he's obviously saying the same thing that this man said when this man comes before him in judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name? And Jesus said, yes, you did. And Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name? And Jesus said, yes, you did. And Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name? And Jesus is not saying, no, you didn't. He is agreeing, yes, you did. But there's something else that he professes along with this, and that is, I never knew you. And the word never means not ever, not at any time, not at any time. There was not a second, there was not a minute, there was not an hour, there was not the bat of an eye when I was with you and blessing you and knew you. These things he did was the clothing that he wore to get to the sheep. And why does the wolf want the sheep? What does the wolf want to do with the sheep? He wants to eat them, to use them, to fleece them, to take advantage of them, and to turn them to his own end and purpose. To feed off of them. If I was a bold preacher, I would give you some names of men who, through television healing ministries so-called, have gathered from 60 to 120 million a year fleecing sheep or goats I hope they never got a penny of your money. If you sent it to them, you did wrong. If you got any extra money that you don't need and you don't want to give it to this church or to God's people, give it to the dog pound. You'll do better. You'll do a better work than to give it to a false prophet who will preach a false message. I never, not at any time, not even for a second, knew that is perceived to gain insight into. It denotes a true and personal relationship between the person knowing and the object known. And what Jesus Christ is saying to this man at judgment is, we never had a personal relationship, no matter what you said, no matter what you did. I didn't call you and I didn't send you, and you preached a message contrary to God's will and my instruction. Therefore, depart from me. Go away, ye that work, and that is to form by labor, to produce. You formed by labor, you formed by your carnal labor, iniquity. And this word has in its prefix an A, which a negative, and then law. This man preached that which was a violation of law. Not man's law, but God's law. In other words, he taught things that weren't true. Jesus spoke to these people who prided themselves in the fact that they were keepers of the law, and people who taught others to keep the law. And then when Jesus came, they preached a message that was not true, but they preached it in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, beware of these false prophets, because they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Don't judge a false prophet by the results of his ministry. You will make a tragic error. Judge a prophet, me or anyone else who claims to speak in the name of God, judge that person by their words, because that's what a prophet does. He speaks. Therefore, he should be judged for his speech. But when you take your ear from his speech and put your eye on what he produces that which is contrary to the law of God. Now, in the Old Testament, I read to you from Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 11, where God spoke of the false prophets as actually being a test from God to see whether the people loved him or not. Jeremiah 23, verses 16 through 21, a rather long statement of false prophets who tell the people what the people want to hear, but it's not what God said. Deuteronomy 18, 15 tells us that there will be a prophet that will arise among you. And this is the prophet that people would ask Jesus, are you that prophet? Jesus Christ became the prophet. He became king and priest and prophet. And in the New Testament, Peter wrote, what did he say? In 2 Peter 2. I'm not going to try to give an exposition of these. I just simply want you to know that they exist. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. What did Jesus say? You probably already know it. But there were false prophets also. This is verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who tolerate. Because there'll be good men who'll do the church a lot of good, right? No, Peter said, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They criticize the truth. And in criticizing the truth, they get followers. Now, I can tell you people who have been led from this church, and I could take you very quickly and show you where they live, because another church said, well, you don't want to be involved with those people because of close communion and their stand on strict baptism. You don't want to be a part of them. Look, they offend people all. You don't want to be a part of that congregation. And it worked. How did they get a follower? They were a false prophet with a false message who influenced a person by criticizing the truth. First John 4. Again, here's the prophet John. This is they ought to know that this is in the Word of God. But you know, how many people say that it's in the Word of God? How many times do people preach these things on where people can hear? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now listen, why do that? Why should you do that? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Are there any false prophets in our day and age? Yes. You say, well, look at this man. He's building this great work. He's got this great thing going, and he always stands behind the sacred desk, and he uses the name of Jesus, calls him Lord. And brother, you just can't tell me this man is not from God. I can tell you that too. And the fruit you'll know a false prophet by is not what he does, because that's his clothing that makes him look like a sheep. You'll know him by what he says.